We back. You can see the smile on his face. You can see the smile on his face. You can see the smile on his face. We back, man.
We back. We back.
One second. Somebody is late.
Yeah. He's always late. Not here.
Somebody is not here.
I
got. Do we call him?
Yeah, let's call him. Let's call him. the boy all the way from Toronto,
all the way from London, Ontario. He's here in person for the first time ever.
How do you do? Where have you been?
You need to know your mic, you clown.
I reached.
Man's not used to the system yet. He's not.
He's
used
not,
to the
bro.
System
he's
yet.
Not.
Why are you wearing a Boston jersey, sir?
Yo,
it's
more chill,
about the number,
chill.
It's not about the name at the back, not the
yeah. Let the man know. Let the man know.
Okay. Oh. I thought I'll see a Nets jersey, by the way.
Is loading and that, yeah. Loading.
Right, yeah, man. Good to see you. But we back in person. We back.
Yeah.
We back. It's just remaining one more person. Maybe we'll have a 3 people in person show. I'm not promising. Maybe,
yes, soon come.
We'll see how the time goes, but yeah. Welcome to another episode of the Courtcast. New season, hopefully, new attitudes from some of the individuals, particularly the person wearing green. Better prediction.
We'll see.
As usual, with me, I have actually not as usual, but beside me, for the first time ever, beside me. We have the Black Kid Bayless himself.
Hello, good evening. Thanks for having me.
It's your turn. And on the other side, the only man who loves LeBron more than Savannah and Leshan is Sharp. Tosin, thank you for coming back.
Thanks for having me. That is not me. You should have said Kyrie, not LeBron.
But yeah, man, we're back with another episode of the Courtcast. The first one.
The voice of treason.
I didn't introduce myself, my bad. Yo, you guys know by the voice, it's the voice of reason, the voice of truth, the man who speaks the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth.
Listeners, do you actually believe that?
They do.
We don't. They've never.
There was actually a petition for me to change my Twitter name to the voice of reason, and I was like,
petition. How many people signed it?
More like the voice of treason. Now, if you had said treason.
Nah,
that would be the moneymaker.
Voice of reason, yeah. Bruh. But yeah, man, I've said that one too many times. We back. It's another season of the Courtcast. And hopefully, we're about to bring you another year's worth of quality content covering the NBA. So where better to start than the worst team in the NBA last year, the purple and gold? Actually, no, let's start with the Warriors. They deserve it. They're the champions.
I predicted it.
Yeah. Steph, yeah, you did. Wardell. Stephen Wardell Curry finally won his finals MVP. His long awaited finals MVP. And we had this long ass debate on whether that shoveled him into the top 10. I personally don't think so. A lot of people are of that opinion. You have the right to have your opinion. Even though it's wrong, you can still hold that opinion. But now, where do you guys see the Warriors season going this year? Given the fact that Klay, you know, will be better than he was last year just because of continuous basketball reps. I don't know the situation with Draymond's contract, but I don't think he's going to be there for much longer. There are already negotiations with Jordan Poole. I'm expecting growth from the likes of Jonathan Kuminga and, the Combucket and
James Wiseman.
And there's another one. Is it Moses Moody?
Moody.
Yeah, so I'm expecting a level of growth from the three of them.
Wiggins as well.
Andrew Wiggins, not necessarily to the level that Jordan Poole showed last year, but I expect him to take a step up. So what do you guys see the Warriors? What do you guys expect of the Warriors season?
I expect success. I expect... can you hear me?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay. I expect them to achieve... similar things as last year with the likes of Wiseman. Wiseman is huge. They had a 6'9 guy play center throughout last year, and they have someone that is legitimately about seven feet, and he can shoot the mid range. He's big, he's strong, and so that defensive presence is not just on Draymond anymore. It's now spread out. They have what's his name, the second coming of Steph Curry, what's his name?
Jordan Poole.
They have Jordan Poole in his second year, where he has like experience coming off the NBA Finals now. I expect him to take that huge step. I expect him to be more assertive, to be smarter with his plays. Klay Thompson playing from the beginning of the season, so they don't have that transition period anymore. I expect stability. I don't expect, you know, that period when they were like, I think they were first, and then Steph Curry got injured, and then they had that down period. I expect
all stability these are barring from injuries, of course. Barring
any yes, player. Yes, yes. I expect stability from them this year, and they have the best coach in all, top two coaches in the NBA. So like, I expect more, better things from them this year.
Okay, not giving away too much. I like that. What about you?
Well, for me, we haven't technically seen Curry, Klay, and Draymond defend the title. The last time they've had to do that, they lost in the NBA Finals.
After winning 7-3 games.
So, well, really, their system really works with any personnel they plug in. So, like, for example, we saw Wiggins take an extraordinary step last season that we didn't expect at all. It was, you know, was unforeseen, and it was beautiful. It was something beautiful to watch, right? You know, where especially when, like, Klay wasn't having the best of nights, they had Wiggins, they had Poole stepping up when they needed
them. Automatic.
And
even though they lost.
And Will Chamberlain's long-forgotten grandson in Otto Porter. So
he's not there anymore.
He's not there anymore. But
he's in Toronto, baby. He's about to win his back-to-back.
So I would say this. I expect them to be who they are. They've always been. You would see them in the playoffs. You see them make a deep run. But they have a lot of, what's it called, obstacles to climb now. More obstacles, barring injuries, to climb.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And especially in the, more especially in the West, because that's
what sure. it is. Sure.
So I do expect them to be, my expectation for them is not, you know, what's it called? It's not like, you know, it's the same expectation I
You're
have.
You're just them. Warriors be Warriors.
Warriors
are just
gonna like be the Warriors.
Tottenham be Tottenham, Warriors be Warriors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But don't ever put Tottenham and Warriors
in. No. I'm just saying, okay. Like, you expect them, you expect those lots, but you expect the Warriors to do their thing.
Absolutely. So, especially because, you know, if Curry is not going, they can have Klay going. If Klay is not going, they can have Wiggins going. If Wiggins is not going, Poole can get going. And Poole has the damn near the same range as Curry, but not the same type of effect. But yes,
he just needs to be smarter.
Exactly. So I do expect them to be who they are, and a little bit better. But they lost a couple pieces in GP.
Yeah.
And Otto, but that for me is GP more because GP brought that extra defense when they needed it, you know. So, hey, but I do expect them to be where they're supposed to be at the end of the season.
For sure. I actually have nothing else to say. You guys covered everything. Like I said before, I expect the likes of Kuminga, Moses Moody, and James Wiseman take another step to not just increase their chance, not just to elongate their championship window, but to increase their chances of being able to make a deep run in these playoffs and potentially end up with another ring. Absolutely. Who knows? Can't say never with this Warriors, but like quickly, because we don't have too much time. The Lakers, what do you make of their season? I'll just go first. I think nothing special. Watched the first preseason game yesterday. Bron went over 7. I feel like this season is just going to be, for the Lakers, it's going to be all about LeBron passing Kareem. He might make the play-in. He might win the play-in game. The ceiling's a first-round exit, as far as I'm concerned. With or without the Russell Westbrook trade. What do you guys think?
You go for it.
I do think the Lakers might surprise everyone this season. Why? Barring that AD doesn't go down. AD plays at least 70 games.
When you say surprise, do you mean like top 7 seed, top 8 seed, sorry, top 6 seed?
I do think they're going to be in a top 6 seed.
A top 6 seed?
Yes.
In the West?
In the West.
Because in the Western Conference?
In the Western Conference. And I do understand there's a lot more competition in the West. Like, a lot, like 1 to 8 is very interchangeable with the way the West is built this season. Like, so, but I don't want to count a LeBron-led team out, because over time he's shown us that he can pull a team out of, you know.
But he's in year 20.
But he's right in year now, 20. So the only difference is now Anthony Davis has to be the one to step up. It has to be an AD-led.
I don't trust AD.
But that's the thing. So nobody trusts AD. But with the way he played in the first, I guess, first half of last night.
Yeah, the first quarter, they went berserk.
Like they,
except LeBron.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that is a very potent offense. But barring that AD injury, and AD has to play like he means it every single game, but then for my prediction to come to pass. But I do feel like there might be a top seed in the West.
To be fair, they did get younger. Mm-hmm. Toscano Anderson. They tried to bring grit on defense with Patrick Beverly. Mm-hmm. Kendrick Nunn mm-hmm. finally gets to play a couple games for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Lonnie Walker is a really amazing pickup. Like I said, they did him, and I like Darvin Ham. I like the hire of Darvin Ham. And he's been talking a lot about defense in his press conferences. And AD said he intends to play on the same, to play with the same intensity he played with in his first season as a Laker. Mm-hmm. Seeing is believing for me.
I feel
this Lakers team has identified themselves to me as what they are. So unless I can see them change, for now, I just don't buy it. Tosin, what about you?
I watched the game last night, and I took positives from it. I first see what they're trying to do on defense, and that's the first game, so you can't put too much stock into it. They struggle shooting the ball. You can still see the struggles of them shooting the ball from the three. It's still going to be there all season, and I think there is more emphasis on them like going to the rim this year, at least from that from yesterday. But defensively is where I'm really excited for them. They want that identity where teams are like, respect them. They're scared to like play them, because defensively they want to be like at the top. And I remember like when they won the championship, they were, I think, top 2 defensively. We know defense wins championship. Like, when you're struggling,
should have won DVOI that year as well.
Yeah. When you're struggling to put the ball in the hoop, like defending will, like, you know, help you. Yeah, we'll keep you afloat and whatnot. And AD seems like he's more aggressive. And, you know, when you won the championship, before he won the championship, my guy was hungry. Like, he wanted to win that championship. He showed it, and that brought out that aggressiveness. But after winning the championship, you could just tell he got complacent. And I think this past couple of summers with the slander, him like going on a YouTuber's video and then saying he hadn't like picked up a basketball, and that was blown into like a thing.
Just so you guys know, AD was on his stream playing 2K, and AD on 2K got injured.
Yeah, I saw it. He just looked like, and he was laughing. That's just funny. But of course, this is barring injuries. I expect him to be very assertive and to be very aggressive. So
for the team in general, what do you expect from them?
For the team in general, I expect them to be better than last year. But that's what I can say. I don't want to like state where I have them until we get to that segment. Huh?
Potential playing team?
Yes, I have them as a playing team.
Okay, we can quickly breeze through. Actually, no, we need to talk about two more teams before we breeze through the rest. I want to talk about the Nuggets and the Clippers. First of all, starting with the Nuggets, back-to-back MVP. They get Jamal Murray back. MPJ is going to come back. I think they had to trade for KCP.
Yes.
Yep.
I don't know what the second person was. But what do you guys think of the Nuggets this season? Because I have very high expectations of the Denver Nuggets. I think they're going to be one of the best teams in basketball this year. I think they're going to be one of the most fun teams to watch. I just flash back to the 2020 playoffs, and the two-man game between Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic was one of the best things to watch in the NBA at that time. And I like Mike Malone as a coach. I think he's a really good coach. And I have high expectations. I'm not going to say where I have them, but I do have high expectations for them. What do you guys think?
I'll go first. So I watched their game as well. So I really liked some of their pickups, like the KCP pickup. That was a 3-and-D guy. There is a snag that I have with their pickups. They got DeAndre Jordan, and they let go of Boogie Cousins. So I'm not really too sure what they're going for there, because they don't have like another backup center. So DeAndre Jordan is going to have to see minutes, which is quite weird to me. Tough. But yeah, but with MPJ looked solid last night. You know, MPJ has that. Get me the ball. I'm J.R. Smith. I'm shooting it over anyone. He still has that mentality, and he makes those shots. I'm very excited to see MPJ and Jamal back. Jamal made two threes yesterday, a buzzer beater at the end of the half. So that pick and roll is going to be as brutal as it was years ago. So I have them
actually looks like he still has that first step as well. So
yeah, I have them finishing really high as well. Of course, I think individual numbers will like depreciate just because now it's being spread out. So you wouldn't see like a Jokic maybe finishing the MVP.
I think he's gonna be at that level he was in the bubble, where you're like, this is a terrific player.
Yes. Because he won a game against Golden State, and he was basically by himself. So to get like two potential All Stars back, like I have very high expectations for them this year.
I see them actually as a top three seed. You know, not only because of Jamal, not because of MPJ, but because of Nikola Jokic. One thing that really like made me come to peace with him winning the MVP last season was his advanced stats and how much more work he does in the background, you know. So if you look at his advanced stats, to be honest, I can't even pull out the numbers off my head, but they were just mind blowing. Like, you don't typically see that from one player, from a one man team led, you know, type of team. So now he's getting, like you guys said, J-Mall, MPJ, you got KCP, they have Aaron Gordon as their four. So so even if they wanted to play small ball or big man ball, you know, they literally could interchange. And, you know, it's the same continuity in terms of system. And I would have loved for them to have kept Boogie than to lose him for freaking DeAndre Jordan. Like, that for me.
I'm actually going to start a petition to remove Jordan from DeAndre's name, because he doesn't deserve to have that name. Honestly,
you're going to remove his entire last name.
I agree. The man should just be bearing DeAndre. And DeAndre
DeAndre, just Andre, because he don't play no D.
I wouldn't mind calling him on, because for real, I feel like midway through the season, they might do something about
that. They might go on a crazy run.
Exactly. But they might even have to get rid of DeAndre. But for me, I would like for them to pick up a Miles Turner.
That can be a pickup. That has to be a trade.
Would have to be a trade. But like, I would like, if Miles Turner was on that team, they would automatically be a like number one team to beat in the West, in my opinion. Because not only do they have the continuity, they have the players in the same system coming back, and they still have the MVP, the reigning MVP. So I do see them as a top three seed. I see them making a deep run into the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Denver and, you know, one of the other teams later that we discuss later.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know who he's talking about. He's talking about my Clippers. I'm back on the bandwagon. I don't care what anybody tells me. We have the best coach in the league. As far as I'm concerned, Toronto is the best coach in the league. I've been saying this for over a year now. Y'all can shoot me all you want. Ty Lue is the best coach in the league. They have a top five player in his sleep in Kawhi Leonard. They have possibly the best second option in the NBA in Paul George. And they just have an all-round squad. Norman Powell, Robert Covington, Nicholas Batum, Reggie Jackson, John Wall, Ivica Zubac.
The white boy that can shoot.
Luke Kennard. Like, they have... He's one of the teams that the next man up mentality is going to be spot. He's going to be 100 because every single person could potentially claim a starting spot on another team in the NBA. And they're deep. They have the best coach in the league, top five player. That's the recipe for, you know, a championship. I'm not going to spoil. I might have spoiled where I have them, but, you know, I expect a lot from the Clippers this year. The last time we saw them in the playoffs with a healthy Kawhi and PG, they were going to make the NBA Finals if Kawhi doesn't go down. Closed out the 50-something win Utah Jazz without Kawhi in two games. Went six games with the eventual NBA finalist Phoenix Suns. Adding Kawhi back into that mix, boy, Giannis might have still been ringless. But yeah, me, high expectations for the Clippers. Y'all already know where I have them. I don't think much needs to be said.
Yeah. Well, I know you didn't have like these guys on your docket, but the Brooklyn Nets, they had a very interesting summer with KD and the trade, and even with the team coming back into this season. What do you guys think with Joe Harris coming back?
I just want to get your thoughts on the Clippers. We're trying to run through the West.
Oh, I didn't go. Oh, my bad.
He's getting Clippers. Old, guys.
The Clippers, I actually have them going really far. I think they have one of the best coaches in the NBA. I think they have a top 10 player in Kawhi. And I think they have a top 20 player in Paul George. And that's a hell of a second option. His game is the smoothest. You can't really defend his game. They have a backup point guard in John Wall. It's really crazy because you know when you have a team where if the first the starters are like finding it difficult, your second team, your bench can easily come back for you and defeat the other team.
And your coach is not afraid to play all bench players.
Yes. So I expect them to do great things. In short.
I like that. What about you?
Well, for the longest, I've been calling them the Clippers. With the ASS at the end. Well, I'm very objective when I need to be. So tonight I'll try to be as objective as possible. Bro,
you guys, Femi doesn't like the Clippers because Kawhi left Toronto for them.
Just
FYI.
Yeah, okay, understandable. But let's be objective, right? I think it was the game against Washington last season where they were down by so much.
Close to 30.
And Ty Lue said, you know what, screw it. Starters, you go to the bench. I'm playing all bench players. And those bench players brought him back and won the game. That was probably the most astonishing coaching move I've ever seen in the NBA so far. And I've been only watching for hours for so long.
I would say one rivals it. When Steve Kerr was benching Draymond for offensive possessions in the finals. And yeah.
Right. But to do that, to try and still come up with the win, was amazing. And now you add a top five player.
Thank you for that.
And a top 15 player, in my opinion. When
thank you for that.
You have those two, and you have a top, I guess, a tier two type of point guard in John Wall. You know, maybe three because he hasn't played in the last season, so we have to still see –
what he can bring to the table. Now, you have Reggie Jackson, you have Luke Kennard, you have T-Man, you have Zubac, you have Batum, that's defense, that's rebounding. And, you know, like when Kawhi was in the Raptors, like you always used to say, board man gets paid. So they're all board men, especially on the Clippers. Everybody rebounds, everybody attacks the paint. And you could just even see from their preseason game, they're going to be lethal from deep. Because you can't.
The last time Kawhi was fit, they had the best shooting percentage, the 3-point shooting percentage in the NBA. Marcus Morris actually shot 46% from three that season.
I remember that. If you don't have Zubac on the floor, you literally have from 1 through 5, they can shoot from three all effortlessly. You know what I'm saying? So once you have that kind of spacing on the floor, it creates so many options. And from the kind of coaching schemes we've seen from Ty Lue, you best believe that, hey, they are going to be a tough team to guard and a tough team to beat. You know, having Kawhi hit the mid-ranges, having PG work in the mid-range as well, having Reggie Jackson just work around the pick and roll with John Wall in spacing and Kawhi and PG in spacing, like, bro, it's lethal. I see them as a top 5 seed, not anywhere lower. You know what I'm saying? But that just depends on how well the other teams in the West are playing. But in my opinion, they are going to be a tough team to guard and a tough team to beat.
Just last thing on them, I think it's actually more dependent on how many games we actually see Kawhi play during the regular season. You know, a lot of people criticize him for, what's it called?
Load management.
So I think at most he gets 60 games this season, at most. But we know what Kawhi is going to playoffs. It's just about keeping him fit in time for the playoffs, and then sky's the limit. Yeah, but let's just quickly run through the rest of the West. I expect another huge season from the Mavs. I absolutely love the pickup of Chris Wood, not only because I feel like he has a point to prove, but because when I played 2K and I used the Mavs, I picked up Chris Wood and we won the chip. So that might be something coming. 77 should be in the race for MVP, certainly top 5. They lost Jalen Brunson, but they were not going to pay that much for him. I love the pickup of I love Spencer, what he does for them. Tim Hardaway coming back from injury, Maxi Kleber. I'm still on the Mavs. I don't know how deep of a run they're going to make this year, but I'm still high on the Mavs as a solid, you know, team in the Western Conference. Team that can make noise as well. I guess that's all the positivity we're getting from you today. Yeah,
bro, as soon as you mentioned the name, I already lost all interest. Last season, there might be a potential conference finals because the Suns or whoever team they're going to face might just roll around, and because it's Luka, we're going to bow down. No. There are too many teams in the West that's going to knock the Mavs in the first round. That's what I'm saying.
First round?
First round exit. I called it first. They might even be in a play-in, to be honest.
The kind of team in the West. The first round is if they're playing Kawhi. Justin, what about you?
As you know, I was the first fan of Luka, so I'm fully aware of his prowess. Really? Yes. So this year, I expect them to, like, I wasn't too happy with their summer, to be honest. They only had one addition to the team, and that was Chris Wood. Other than that, they lost Brunson. They lost the 7-3 guy in Washington. I don't forget his name.
Yeah, but they traded Porzingis midseason for Dinwiddie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, true. But yeah, I thought them coming short to like Golden State will like make them more aggressive with like trades, but I guess they didn't feel the need to. I feel like they're coming back. Yeah, their style of playing the postseason is somewhat limited because it's give Luka the ball. And we're going to play all shooters.
That's right.
And I feel like that cannot win a championship, but they would always be contenders. They would always be high up there.
Until they get Robert.
Yeah, because you remember what Kobe said about James Harden's Rockets. That style cannot win a championship, and he never did. But I still have them really high. I have Luka top three in my MVP race, top two in my MVP race. But
he might not be two as well.
He definitely might not be two. You feel me?
Oh, yeah, I like that. But then quickly, the rest of the team, Grizzlies, I don't expect them to have the season they had last season, but I expect them to be a pain in the ass. I expect them to be one of the most difficult teams to play in the NBA. I expect Ja to keep doing what Ja does. I don't think they'll finish as a second seed just because I think teams like the Clippers and the Nuggets are going to do better than they did last year and potentially knock them off. But that's taking nothing away from the brilliant team they are. I don't like that they lost the Anthony Melton, but I get it. I'm hoping Dylan Brooks improves. But yeah, the Grizzlies in general, I expect nothing less from them, except I just don't think their seeding would be that high.
Likewise. I mean, they did pick up Danny Green, which is like a veteran.
But I don't know if he plays this season, though. Because remember, he was hurt.
He played in the preseason.
Did he? He played yesterday?
Yeah, he played in the preseason. Oh, wow. I think. I didn't watch their game, but I think.
I seen a couple of. You don't leave Danny Green wide open.
You can't. Miami did, and they lived by it.
Yeah, I think the pickup of Danny Green should not be anything to move the needle, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Pickup of Danny Green is the same thing as picking up a bag of Cheetos. But we'll see what happens this year. I don't have them doing as well. I'm on the verge of taking them out of my playoff teams.
No, you crazy.
But you know the funny thing? I do have them beating Mavs in the first round.
Bruh.
Yeah.
You see, now you crazy, bro. Oh, yeah. And then Timberwolves, could have already go bar. Y'all know how I feel about Rudy. Anybody give a damn about Rudy?
But for me, my opinion, my question is, how do they expect to mix Carl
Anthony? So I saw something. They said they're going to be running lineups more with Ant and Kat, D'Lo and Rudy. I don't know how that's gonna work.
In the West,
I don't know if it works.
In the West,
I thought it was a stupid trade when it happened, and I still think it's a stupid trade right now. But yeah, the Timberwolves—they did make the playoffs last year. I expect Anthony Edwards to actually be an All-Star this year. I don't expect much from Kat.
I have a question.
He's gonna keep doing what he normally does. I think D'Lo is gonna have a better season, especially if he gets trusted with the ball more and he gets to run that pick and roll action with Rudy Gobert, where Rudy is a lob threat and all that. But yeah, I don't really expect much from the Timberwolves. Potentially a playing team again.
I have a question.
They did win 48 games last season, though. Maybe they improve on that. I'm not sure.
Why won't you guys mention the Suns?
Because it's setting.
Is what?
Because the sun is setting.
Wow.
Bro, because I don't have time for book, man. Because, bro, it's a preseason game. They lost to the Adelaide 36ers.
At home.
And they played all their starters. And people are trolling. And Book is posting the meme of LeBron saying they're going back to their jobs. It's like, bro. Maybe if Book allowed them to double him in open gym, he would have been able to overcome the doubles that the Mavs sent his way in the NBA.
I do think it's blown out of proportion though, because I checked the stats and the Suns starters, all of them were positive, I think, plus minus, they were positive 15. So while they were on the court, they were up by, I think, either 12 or 15. They were up.
They lost the Adelaide 36ers.
I understand. But the optic is crazy. The optic is crazy, but it doesn't tell the true story of, like...
But they lost the Adelaide 36ers. Like, that's all that matters.
For me, the problem with the Suns is their center. their center.
And Ayton doesn't look like he wants to be there.
Ayton is there strictly for business at this point. Like from his from his interviews,
he's counting us.
Yeah, is even what he's saying is like it's all about the business now, no longer about the relationship and the chemistry and whatnot. Down the drain is going to tell a lot.
He hasn't spoken to Coach Monty since Game 7 against the Mavs.
Yeah, and when I, if I was him and I look at someone like Chris Paul talking about we're gonna get your money, and it's like, did you really try? I'm gonna be
Point blank period. I don't trust CP.
I don't trust the bull leg nigga.
Damn. Damn, I thought I was crazy. Well, the thing for me is like. DeAndre, man, it wasn't the coach that asked you not to play the way you did in Game 7 against Mavericks.
But it's not just him, though.
And like, and what's his face? Devin Booker. You scored 3 points by halftime in Game 7. It's a Game 7 on your home floor. That, for me, is when you bring out whatever Kobe talked to you about, be legendary. That's the opportunity to become legendary. That was the time for you to make my enemies that support the Luka number 77. You know, that was the time to make my enemies fall to their faces. But no, you had 3 points and in the first half, but you got to come and post LeBron. I see them as a playing team.
Oh God, that's why
I'm sorely disappointed.
Wild. I'm not gonna lie, I have them as a playing team as well.
That's wild, bro. That's actually wild, bro. That's actually wild.
Because for me, I feel like they let 77 destroy their franchise. But, it was after 77 did what he did. They found what they did with their owners.
Now, boss man isn't there anymore, you know.
Please stop calling him boss man. You call him boss man every time.
Nah, that dollar tree boner boy looking ass. Boy, should have boy. If you don't boy, if you don't like. It wasn't like he had any effect in Game 7. Like.
What do you guys should leave boss man alone now. He's not. He made back to back finals. Not a lot of people in the league have done that. All right. And lastly, in the West, Nola. I expect crazy things from them this season. CJ, B.I., Zion. I said his name like that. In fact, Zion. Because, bro, Zion, CJ, B.I. Am I missing someone?
GTA, Alvarado.
Valanciunas as well.
Valanciunas.
I mean,
G-Herb. What's his name? G Herb.
Herb,
I call him
Jones,
because that man be stealing,
bro.
That man's a criminal,
bro.
He needs to be arrested. Him and GTA thieves.
The Pelicans are onto something,
and CJ and their buckets. And their coach.
Yeah.
CJ McBucket,
yeah.
Willie Green, my dark horse for
coach of the year for sure. Real. Makes sense, yeah. Bro. So they could, bro. I'm not even being crazy. They could just have that run that Memphis had last year. And we see them as a 2-3 seed. And I'm like,
I won't be surprised.
I won't be surprised. Honestly.
I really won't be surprised.
Zion is coming this year. Zion is coming.
Did you see him in the presser?
Hey!
He's almost my build right now.
I love how silent we were. Because clearly Tosin is losing his mind.
I know you didn't just say that.
Clearly Tosin is losing his mind.
Clip that. That was crazy.
Honestly, I'm hoping to see. I believe they'll be the most fun team to watch in the NBA this year.
Absolutely. I just wish they had Lonzo. If they had Lonzo on that team still, bro.
I believe they'll be the most fun team to watch. And I look forward to it massively. I'm here for it. I love CJ as well. So we'll be happy to see him finally win. I'll finally potentially make an all-star game because he hasn't made one in his career. Yeah, so that's it for the West. Let's move to the East.
The beast in the East.
The drama in the East through this summer was all about one place, Brooklyn, the Nets. And Tosin was right. KD ended up staying. I was definitely reaching with KD to Toronto. I wanted it to happen, but the odds were low. So now, Tosin, the floor is yours. What do you make of your season? What do you think?
Where I've been waiting all offseason to hear what you have to say.
For sure.
So, thank you, guy.
Keep in mind, whatever you say, I saw Ben Simmons trying to make a fadeaway yesterday. So, trying to stay within the lines of objectivity.
Okay. So, with the Brooklyn Nets, throughout all the drama in the offseason, I was really looking forward to everyone coming back because I liked the pickups by the general manager. We got the guy from Pacers, TJ Warren. We got
Rolls Royce.
Yeah. My brain is freezing right now, but
did you keep Patty Mills?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, we kept Patty Mills. So with those pickups, first off, with Ben Simmons and Royce O'Neal, it addresses some of our defensive liabilities, especially on the perimeter.
You lost Bruce Brown, though.
Yeah, we lost Bruce Brown. And that was the guy he's in Denver right now.
Yeah,
that's who I forgot. That was
We lost Bruce Brown, but getting a Royce O'Neal, I actually like that over Bruce Brown because Royce O'Neal has proven over the last couple of years that he can do this. He's a 3-and-D player, just like, I mean, Bruce Brown is not a 3-and-D player. Bruce Brown is just a D player. But Royce O'Neal actually offers us things that we didn't have before. Ben Simmons playing on defensively, that's huge. Nicky Claxton, that guy has bulked up. The game we played yesterday, you could tell that we were trying to implement something new defensively.
Claxton bulked up?
Yeah, he bulked up.
Wow. He might actually be breaking the rims on his free throw misses now.
Damn.
That was a low blow. yesterday we conceded 42 points in the first quarter, which is when you look at that, you're like, whoa, we are still porous. First of all, we didn't play Ben Simmons on the perimeter. We didn't start Royce O'Neal. We started with Joe Harris. And Joe Harris, that's his first game back since November. So he missed his first couple of shots. He actually shot like an air ball as well, I think. But we grew into the game. On defense, we were helping out. Kyrie was helping out. Kyrie actually was on Twitch talking to my boys. And he said he's trying to be known as a defensive player this year. He didn't talk about offense. He said he's trying to be known as a defensive player this year. And even if he's not able to successfully do it, the mentality speaks more to me. He's going to put in a lot of effort. And with the game yesterday, even though it was just a preseason game, his effort on the defensive side, he had a couple of steals. He stole the ball from that guy in Philly, the point guard. Tyrese. His help defense was good. So, with Ben Simmons there and everybody trying to play defense, I think it is something that would motivate a lot of the players to play defense. We also got a new offensive coach. He's an assistant coach, but an offensive guy. And he's known for like his drawing of plays, offensively creative-minded. So we shouldn't be playing the strict pick and roll that we were playing last year where you just give KD the ball and ISO. Yesterday, there was a lot of ball movement and very efficient.
I appreciate all your points, but then I
feel like before, beat around the bush.
Before we get to you, I just have two questions regarding the Brooklyn Nets. Where do you see Ben Simmons? Where do you see the best place for Ben Simmons to play in order for him to contribute the most to this Brooklyn team? And will Steve Nash be a problem? Because I get your, because now you sound like this is football and you're hiring offensive and defensive coordinators, but realistically, your coach should be good enough. And have you reached, do you feel like the team would reach a stage where we no longer question Steve Nash?
So your first question was Ben Simmons' best position. I feel like we typically won't start the game with Ben Simmons in his best position. His best position, in my opinion, is playing the center.
No, I'm not asking his best position. I'm asking the position, the best position for him to play where he can contribute the most to the Brooklyn team.
And I think he's the center. He has to play the center. And I think that will be our closing lineup for the most part. I think the Claxton will always start and Ben Simmons will just play some other position, which I don't know right now. I think point guard. But to our closing lineup would always be Ben Simmons as the center. And I think that's the best thing because with the pick and roll Ben Simmons, if they like hedge KD, he passes it to to Ben Simmons. He in the middle of the paint, he has the IQ to actually make the best basketball play, whether to finish at the rim or to actually pass out to the plethora of shooters we have. So I think that's the best position for him.
So at the dunker spot.
Yes. Okay. Then Steve Nash. Steve Nash is always going to be a problem. I don't think that will change regardless of the personnel. I do think us getting an offensive coach is just signaling we want to still keep Steve Nash, but we know that we've been stagnant. Because KD addressed this in his interview, was like, I wanted us to be able to succeed even when I was not on the court. He said, when I was not on the court, we lost like 10 games in a row. That shouldn't happen. So like, I feel like they tried to address that where we're able to be creative, where it doesn't have to be KD or bust. So to answer your question, Steve Nash will always be a problem, but it wouldn't affect the team
do you expect the Nets to win because of Steve Nash or in spite of Steve Nash?
Of course, in spite of that white man.
So you expect them to still go ahead and be a top 2-3 seed this season?
I think continuity was our main problem and availability. And I think once those two things are not an issue, I think we're going to be up there. Because I remember us being the first in the East before KD got injured. All right, so
that's good. How about you? Just a quick one.
Yeah, quickly. For me, I do think Ben Simmons should do actually play his normal position as point guard and move Kyrie to shooting. That way, I know it's because whether he plays point guard or center, there's going to be a little bit of sagging off, if you know what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. So, and also with the Steve Nash. I mean, Steve Nash was the coach when y'all took the Bucks to 7 games. He was the coach when y'all were the first seed. And for me, you know, KD asking for his job was calling for a job was, you know, it does set the wrong precedent.
Are they ever going to be able to overcome that?
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Will KD even be able to listen to Steve Nash going into the season now? But I do think KD is the type of person to just want to hoop.
Yeah, he just want to hoop.
Right? So he might just have to just go through it because he has to do it, right? But maybe after the season, I do believe with what KD has done, Steve Nash doesn't have the job next season.
But what about another perspective with it, where with KD doing what he did, which is not right, it lights a fire under Steve Nash. Everyone on that team has something to prove this year, mototivational.
For sure, but like, I don't know about you, but me, if someone says, oh, for me to come back, he has to dip. Whether or not he comes back, it's going to be a while before we're able to. If he eventually comes back, it's going to be a while before I'm able to function with him properly.
Yeah.
Again. Derail them at the start of the season. It may not. We just need to wait and see.
And with the way the NBA media goes, they pick up on any little thing. So,
So quickly, because we don't want to waste too much time. Let's talk about the Bucks and the Sixers. So you see, now I personally think these are going to be the top two teams in the East.
Absolutely.
I don't know. But they're going to be 1 and 2 seed for sure. Right now, I'm leaning towards the Sixers to be the number one seed in the East. Mm-hmm. But I would not be surprised if that ends up being the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm not going to give away anything else, but I expect so much from these two teams. Giannis, Joel Embiid, they seem to be in everybody's top five list of top five players right now, and rightfully so. James Harden looks like a man on a mission. He looks like, you know, he's saying,
what do you think about that?
Harden FC is closed, and we're here for a remontada. I'll be remontada. And I like the pickup of DeAnthony Melton. I expect Tyrese Maxey to get better. I listened to the clip of Doc coaching Harden the other day, and it, you know, I'm not Doc's biggest fan. Everybody knows this, but sounds like they've got something cooking up there in Philly. I also like the addition of Trez, PJ Tucker as well. You know, they have a solid team there, and I think those are going to be the best. They're going to be the one seed in the East, and then with the Bucks, with Chris Middleton coming back, there's continuity. You know, there's still PJ Tucker. They still have Giannis. They still have Jrue Holiday. They still have
Brook Lopez.
They still have the white kid, Pat Connaughton.
Yeah.
There, you know, there's continuity everywhere. So I expect them just to continue rolling like they have been in the past few seasons and make another deep playoff run. And I expect Giannis to be Giannis.
Yeah, I want to focus more on the Sixers. I believe even it was Sam Cassell was one of their
coaches.
And I think there was this clip that went on in the internet where he told Harden to actually just shut the F up and actually listen to what
Doc
he really needs to listen more to coaching, because for the past maybe 4 or 5 seasons, there's always been Harden or bust. And now he's coming to a situation where if you don't perform, Embiid doesn't perform, there is no help coming from anywhere, right? So I expect the Sixers to be one of the top 3 seeds, if not 1, if not 2. But I don't see them as 3, but they should be top 3 seeds. But here's the thing. I expect them to go on a deep playoff run, and I expect nothing less than the conference finals. And I'll be looking to Harden to hold that team accountable, because we all know what Embiid stands for. So, yeah, for me on that team, and most anybody has to prove is Harden, and I expect Harden. And I would, in fact, I don't mind trying to find Harden's number to get the number and start texting him every night to motivate him, because after what he tried to pull off last season, or the couple seasons before that, I expect him to carry them to nothing less than the finals. I'm sorry. I may have said conference finals, but I want to see them in the finals.
The city of Philadelphia deserves it as well.
Facts.
Tyson, what do you think of those two teams?
I really like the 76ers team, unfortunately. I think the additions have been great. I have a concern, though. My concern is, that clip we saw was amazing. Believe me, I think it was amazing. Where the Doc was talking to James Harden. But my concern there is, if James Harden still has the mentality where, even though he has the ability now to, like, maybe he has the burst now and he can, you know, he has that speed back, it seems the mentality where he might just shut off sometimes and just sit in the corner and just give the ball to someone else and not be aggressive. If that mentality still lingers, it's going to be tough.
I hear that, but then it's Doc's job to, you know, get him out of that. Because if you watch the clip, Doc did not try and create any form of separation or thrift. He basically said, Joel is 1, you're 1A. So he's not saying, oh, everything runs to Joel. He's saying the only two people on this team who are allowed to go and get it are you and Joel. And that's the kind of thing Harden would want to hear, because he wouldn't want to hear, oh, just make sure if Joel is the first read, if Joel is not in a good place, then you can go get it. No,
Yeah.
Doc is basically saying you are allowed to go get it when you want to get it, but we have to establish Joel, because once Joel is established, it's difficult for any team in the league to cope with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, yeah, that's my only concern. I have them finishing really, really good this year.
Yeah. Okay, then I was so high on Boston up until what happened with Ime, and I don't think we're gonna talk about that just because we don't really know the details of everything that's going on. I'm still high on them, even though they lost Gallinari. I actually expected them to go back to the finals with Ime as their coach. But without email now, I'm not sure about that. I'm really not sure about that. I think they'll still make a deep playoff run. We might even see them in the conference finals. Like, it's not the team is definitely talented enough. Like, the trading for Malcolm Brogdon, perfect. I like the pickup of Gallinari. Robert Williams is only going to get healthier. The team was already naturally deep, and they only went and got better. They also picked up Blake Griffin because Gallinari got injured, so... You know, the Celtics have probably the best team in the East, but that loss of Ime, I don't know how they navigate that, plus all the media pressure and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't see it. So I just don't see them making the finals again.
Yeah, the loss of Ime also made me go down on them. They picked up Brogdon, which is really good, because I've always thought they had like a point guard issue, and Brogdon, even their preseason, like he came off the bench and he had the highest assists. So like things like that is just what we're gonna see. I don't have them going as far. I personally think 76ers have the best team in the East, but Boston is right there. So
I think Boston might actually be deeper than Philly.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, think about it. They've got, obviously, Tatum, Brown, Smart. Then you have Derek White. You have Malcolm Brogdon. You have Marcus Smart. You have Robert Williams. You have Grant Williams. You have Al Horford.
Yeah, for me, it's just the distance between the starting five. 76ers starting five and Boston starting five. I feel like the distance is wide. Like 76ers starting five is crazy. It's crazy.
I think Boston has one of the best starting fives in the East as well.
They do, but in my opinion, the Sixers have a better.
No, for sure. Like,
yeah, but maybe there, but not I as wide of a gap. But
I personally think the Celtics have the deepest roster. Not just in the East, because when you look at the West, obviously the Clippers have the deepest roster in the whole of the NBA. But yeah, Boston's roster is extremely deep. I think you guys
are
on Boston's roster. Okay, and then lastly, the last two teams we're going to talk about, Cavs and Miami. Cavs ended up trading for Donovan Mitchell. Caris LeVert was not that piece we thought he was going to be, but Donovan Mitchell certainly could be that piece. I don't see them contending this year. They might not even be a top six seed, but the future is bright. Cleveland.
Absolutely. And for me, they have one of the more exciting starting fives in the East.
They could be up there with New Orleans as the most exciting team in basketball this year.
Right, absolutely. Because with DG and Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt, the only thing I'm worried about is their height on defense. Because many offensive teams are going to take about, like if they faced like a Philly, Philly has... what's his face? Harden at 6'4", 6'5". Who's the shooting guard again? Philly?
Tyrese was starting last year.
Okay, but that and Tyrese, but like compared to DG and Donovan Mitchell, DG is like 6'4" with basketball shoes on, and Mitchell is 6'3" with basketball shoes on.
6'2".
So that's a really small bar. If they face like a Nets or what's it called? If they face the Bucks, now, like the backcourt matchup is totally mismatched.
So you can see them facing problems like Portland did with CJ and Dame.
Absolutely, and that would be their biggest problem.
It's not just that they lost Mäkinen or whatever his name is,
Lauri Mäkinen.
So yeah, in their starting five,
a big body, but he wasn't really good on
defense. Yeah, but in their starting five, the third person is going to be Okoro, and Okoro is short. He's a small boy. So like they only have two bigs, and yeah, I see them getting exposed defensively, but they're going to be crazy offensively.
I hear that. That's why I said they may not be a top six seed, but going forward, they're going to be one of the most fun teams to watch in the NBA, and the future is definitely bright for them. As for Miami, the loss of PJ Tucker is huge, in my opinion.
And they didn't get anyone, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't see them being that one seed again. Jimmy out here trying to look like he's in Moana or something. I have no idea what that hairstyle is.
I don't even see them as a
top. He's shaving all his beard and that too.
Bro, Tyler Hero did get the bag though, so pick him up at that.
He got the bag.
I don't see Philly as that top one seed.
Miami.
Miami. And they will make the playoffs of, you know, 6 seed, 5 seed.
I don't see them as a top 5 seed anymore. Another thing that adds to that is their best player just added 1 more year to his career. So he's going to be technically an older basketball player. And I'm not sure he's going to have the same burst he's had over the past couple of years. So I don't see them.
Because they really struggled offensively. It was Jimmy and Inshallah, as they would say in football. So does Jimmy have the strength to carry that load he did last year again? I have no idea.
I personally don't.
Tosin, what about
I feel the question about Jimmy carrying the offensive load is always in the playoffs though. In regular season, they're always very consistent and steady. I have them in my top five. I don't have them that low, but I also don't have them as high as last year. I feel like losing PJ Tucker, I guess they're banking on Oladipo coming back fully this year. But they lost one of the twins, Morris twins.
Markieff is in Brooklyn now.
Yeah. So I don't have them finishing as high. But it would be very interesting to see what Bam is able to do this year.
I was just about to say the onus is on Bam.
Yeah.
Bam, it's time for you to go out there and average 23 points again.
Wow. Yeah.
I need 23, 10, and 4 from you this season.
Absolutely.
Because he keeps complaining about not being a defensive player of the year, this and that. Go out there, establish yourself, give your team 23, 10, and 4. Kyle Lowry, you're the greatest Raptor of all time. I'm never going to slander you. But you were awful in the playoffs. Absolutely horrendous.
And it looks like he has worked on his body this offseason.
So I expect him to. He's what, 37?
Yeah.
I don't expect him to be great, but I expect him to have a better season than he did last season. I don't really have high expectations for Miami. Yeah. So that's it for our preview of the teams we
in both conferences.
We love to talk about on this pod. Actually, you know, we might have skipped one team. And a lot of people think this team is a dark horse to win the East, the Atlanta Hawks, with the addition of DeJounte Murray. I personally don't think it takes them as far up as people think it does.
I mean, they made the conference final on a one lucky run, and that was a lucky run.
Yeah, and
you know, so I don't see them.
I just don't see it.
I don't see it.
But a lot of people actually think I hate Trae Young, and I don't. I really, really like Trae Young. I think
he's one of the more shiftier players.
He's a really good player.
He's
a small man, and basketball is a big man's league.
Exactly.
DeJounte Murray, nice pickup. They will make the playoffs either through being a top six seed or through the play-in, but I just don't see them making a deep run.
One thing I'm curious to see is with DeJounte Murray and Trae Young is who's going to play off ball, because I don't see either of them as elite off ball players.
I think Trae is gonna. I think the idea is for Trae to get more off-ball minutes, because you look at the series against Miami, they always knew when Trae was off-ball, it kind of gave Miami problems. Like the only game that they won, even though he didn't play very well in that game. So the fact that, you know, they always knew where Trey was, they could pick him up full court and all that. Mm-hmm. But then playing Trey off ball, running floppies, running flare ups, mm-hmm. you know, just looking for a way to get him wide open. Totally. Obviously, he's not going to be off ball all the time, but just having the ability to play him off ball more than normal, mm-hmm. I think that's the idea with bringing DeJounte. So I think they're going to. I like what's the coach's name again? Nate McMillan. He's a great coach, yeah. I think.
I think they'll be better defensively with DeJounte. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good for them. I don't have them as high as people do as well, but
I genuinely just wish them a good season.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about all the teams we want to talk about. Predictions. What are your? Let me get your top 8 seeds. Quickly,
in the West, I have the Denver Nuggets
as the one
number one.
Crazy,
because man, they know how to win.
No, games. No, no, for sure, for they sure. I'm not saying
number two. I will have the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
At three, I'd have the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Four, I would give it to. I'll give it to the Mavs. Five, I'll give it to the Grizzlies. Six, Lakers. Seven,
Memphis.
No, I already said Memphis at five. And eight,
Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, yeah. That's about
what about you, Tosin?
I have as my number one Warriors. Number two,
very surprising.
It is, but I've just come to respect their consistency, and they're getting wise, man.
Cool.
Two Clippers. I thought of having Clippers number one, but Mr. Load Management is on that team, so I have them two. Three.
Mr. Two-time Finals MVP.
I don't know who that is. Two. three Denver Nuggets. Four Dallas.
For sure.
Five, New Orleans. No, he did as number four.
I did.
Oh, that's growth.
I thought I was putting the Suns, but man.
You didn't have the Suns as a top 8 seed. That's wild.
It's actually not wild. It's pretty decent.
Let me tell you something. If you had seen their demeanor after that game 7, they were like broken. Mikal
Bridges went on old man and three and said it's just one of those things that happened.
I thought, what do you mean?
No, you know, media day, all the reporters said they've been reporting for like 20-something years. They said that's the deadest. It was like a funeral. Their media day was like a funeral.
They were broken. Even
especially with the owner being racist as well. Yeah. That added to it.
Like they are. I'm sorry, they are a broken team. Right now, they are.
Sorry to cut you short. What's your
number five, New Orleans? Number six, Memphis. Number seven, Suns. Number eight, I have just two teams fighting for whatever. Lakers, Timberwolves.
Okay. For me, my one seed is actually the Nuggets.
Okay.
I just think Yoke has come to know how to win in the regular season.
Like, they know how to win games. I would give
I have high expectations for them this year.
Mm.
My two seed is the Warriors. Simply because load management. I like Kawhi. If Kawhi plays more than 60 games, then I can see them even as a one seed. But if he doesn't, I just see them as a three seed.
Mm-hmm.
My four is Dallas,
mm-hmm.
five Suns,
mm-hmm.
six Grizzlies,
mm-hmm.
seven New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
eight Timberwolves.
I don't mind that, but I do think the Lakers.
So Lakers, I know you're top 8.
I do think the Lakers might. I'm
trying not to attach any form of expectation to that team.
Me too. That's why I put two teams on my 8.
Broke my heart last year. Like they made me look like an absolute. You forget that I predicted them to win the chip on this very podcast. I'm not going to look like a fool again.
I hear you, but hey, I do think they had a turnaround season. I do think, especially for Anthony, I think the slander must have gotten to him. Especially why are you playing 2K and you obviously know that thing will go viral.
That was disrespectful.
Not only
does like, are you watching yourself like have like have that happen to you? But you know, because you're already streaming it, it's gonna go viral. So everybody's gonna see your reaction. Everybody's gonna see that. So I do think they do come out to.
I agree with that. I'm not saying it's not possible for them to even finish as a sixth seed. Mm-hmm. I'm just not believing it until I see it.
And I'm not gonna hold you, bro. Trust me.
For the East, I'll go first. I have the Sixers as the one seed, Bucks as the two seed, Nets as the three seed, Boston as the three seed. Nets or Boston 3 or 4. I'm not decided on that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about the Chicago Bulls. I did. But I'm not sure about them. So, like, yeah, Sixers, Bucks, Nets, or Boston, Miami, Toronto, Cleveland, and Chicago.
I feel you. Wasn't you? You go.
I have Milwaukee as number one, Sixers as number two, Brooklyn number three, Boston number four, Miami number five, Cleveland number six, Toronto number seven, and the Hawks number eight.
Oh. Who did I have instead of?
You said Bulls.
Oh, no. The Hawks are better than the Bulls. I'll have the Hawks at the 18. You're right. You're right.
Because Lonzo is injured, so he's not even going to be
playing. I remember that. I just remember that as well.
I would agree with you guys that at number 8, you have
Hawks.
At 7, for me, you would have the Cleveland Cavaliers. At 6, you would have the Raptors.
Spot me.
I have to pull this out for a reason. You know what I'm saying? It's golden. Shameful. It's golden for to remind.
He said shameful.
Remind you when one of your picks have won the chip like mine. Yeah, yes, it's golden. Yes, it's golden for a reason. Yeah,
that's right.
To remind you.
Funny story. The first day Femi ever met Tosin. Is that the first day?
Yeah.
The first day Femi ever met Tosin. He told him the Raptors are gonna win.
I told you.
And Tosin called him crazy.
You called me an idiot. He said, "Oh, what can Kawhi do? Oh, Danny Green. Is he not Danny Green? Now look at you."
I don't think I've ever questioned Kawhi. I'm a Spurs fan. I've been following Kawhi since
Spurs. Oh my god, bro!
I questioned
based on just the teams you support in the NBA. Because you were a Pacers fan, Spurs fan, Cavs fan,
Nets
and
fan.
Boston fan, Nets fan. Like, bro,
I've been around.
Hey yo. Hey yo!
Oh my days!
All right, yeah. So at number 5, you will have Miami.
Mm-hmm.
4, Nets, because I do think they're gonna lose a bunch of games to start because of the little discombobulation that Kevin started. Kevin. At 3, you have Boston Celtics, but seeing as believing, for me, I do think they might. They might creep below then 3. At 2, you have the Sixers. At 1, the Bucks. Because
I respect
at TNT, you should know by now how we kumpo.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Conference finals. Who do you guys have?
Conference finals. I have 76ers and the Bucks. I want to see that.
In the West?
And in the West. You can't count out the Golden State, but I do think Denver and Clippers are going to be in the conference finals.
So, Tosin, what about you?
I have Brooklyn, Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals.
The car will show you.
I have Clippers, Nuggets in the West.
You see, now you guys are straight up copying me. Because I actually had Clippers Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, and I had Bucks Philly in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what I was saying before we started. I was like, you guys might call me crazy. I didn't know you guys were on the same page.
I'm not on the same page. I have Brooklyn Milwaukee.
No, no, no. Your own page is different. You close your page.
I know. The thing is, though, because here's the thing. With the Nuggets, here's the thing with the Clippers. We've already seen them make the conference finals without Kawhi. So with Kawhi, you do expect them to be there, right? Or to be in contention for that kind of spot. With the Nuggets, we've seen them do that 2 years ago with all of them healthy. You know, and the only reason why they lost was because of AD was on one.
And they have the upgrade in the fourth spot from
absolutely
what's the guy's name?
From Jermichael Green.
No, Jermichael Green was on the Clippers.
Was he?
Yeah, it was, bro. Jeremy Grant, and then there was the old man as well that was in Philly, Paul Millsap.
Paul Millsap. So yeah, so I do think with that kind of, with the better, they have a better squad currently, and I do. That's why I definitely picked them to go to
conference the finals MVP.
Conference finals MVP. I had a couple of names, but with my conference, I would probably go with a Yoke or Kawhi or PG.
No. I think you should ask for the team first and then the MVP.
So, yeah, who wins the conference finals? It's difficult. That's the most, for me, I personally think that's the most difficult matchup for the Clippers in the entire NBA.
Because last time the Clippers faced the Nuggets, the one question they couldn't answer was how do we slow down Nikola? And even with their kind of squad right now, I don't think they have the personnel to kind of slow him down. And he's coming up for MVP season. So, I might give it to the Nuggets. But I know who you're going to have going to the finals. Because at the end of the day,
I might shock you
Kawhi,
guys.
Kawhi has always...
I might shock you guys.
Kawhi has always, done the unexpected, so I do not see a surprise.
Do you have Nuggets in the NBA Finals?
I do have Nuggets in
the Nuggets, bro.
I do.
The way, do you know the owner of the Nuggets owns Arsenal as well?
You do?
Yeah.
So Kroenke.
Yeah, so he might win Prem and. No. We'll talk about that later.
Within your heart needs to
let
be
go, man. Let's see, Tyson, y'all, brother. There's always a spot for you.
I'm good.
Like right here, my G.
I'm good.
Tyson, who do you have winning your conference finals and your conference finals MVP?
Like you said, it is very tough. But when I just thought about the matchups, I think in the front court, like Denver is. It's quite small for like the Clippers. Backcourt. Yeah. Wait, which one is the point guard stuff?
Yeah, that's the backcourt. So you're saying Jamal, KCP.
Yeah, they're probably too small for Clippers.
Defensively, they may struggle with.
Yeah, defensively, they won't, and they can be defended by the Clippers defenders.
You have the Clippers winning.
I have the Clippers winning in Game 7, and I have Kawhi as the Western Conference MVP.
That's right.
I'm gonna hold you.
I don't know where I'm about to go.
Just go where you're supposed to go.
My Clippers. How about them Clippers? Clippers in six, my boy. That's
in six, not even
Clippers
seven.
Clippers in
the
six,
disrespect.
My boy. Clippers in six, my boy. Clippers in six.
MPJ will make you regret.
Six, let me tell you, when Kawhi is done with MPJ, he's gonna be seeing Kobe, bro. Straight.
Wait, so if Kawhi is guarding MPJ, who is guarding Jamal?
PG, bro. What do you think this is? What you think this is? Like, what you think this is?
Bro.
So who's guarding Aaron Gordon?
That's what I'm saying.
Anybody need to guard Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon got himself.
Who's guarding you?
Bro, that's the thing. Here's the thing I've come to understand about great players, right? You cannot stop a great player from going off 30. You just can't do it. You can make it more difficult for them to do that.
Okay, but
you can make them take more shots to do it. But you like
I agree though.
The Clippers have faced Luka. And their style of playing is completely different.
Okay. Wait. Sorry, I would like to take back my stuff. I think Nuggets will win. Because when I'm just thinking about Aaron Gordon,
you guys have enough personnel to.
Aaron Gordon, like defending. When I think about the bench, I think about Bones versus streaky shooters on your team because they could be off a particular day.
Well, the same for the Nuggets, though.
No, these guys are dogs. They could go to the hoop.
You see the Clippers bench? Clippers have Rocco on the bench. The Clippers have Nicholas Batum on the bench. The Clippers have Norman Powell on the bench.
You
Clippers
have a T-Man bunch of
the bench. The Clippers could potentially have Reggie Jackson on the bench. These guys, Marcus Morris could potentially be coming off the bench for them.
John Wall, first off, is going to be a liability because he can't shoot.
Bro, I it doesn't matter. If he's going to be a liability, T. Lou is going to bench him. That's another reason I'm going.
Okay, but I would like to officially change my pick. It's Nuggets and the person winning MVP is Jokic.
Okay, so as I was saying, you can't stop Jokic from going off for 25.
And I agreed.
But what you can do is take the assist from 10 to 4.
Okay, and that
what about Jamal scoring 50?
I agree with you.
What about Jamal scoring 50?
That's what I'm saying. You guys are calling me crazy for saying the Clippers will win.
No, listen. What I'm doing is I'm disagreeing with you.
I acknowledge it's the most difficult matchup for the Clippers in the entire NBA. Like, there's no other matchup that's more difficult.
Absolutely, not even the Warriors can even come close.
But
the Warriors can. I'm not gonna lie to you, they can.
The fact is, Kawhi is the best player on the floor.
The Warriors definitely can. The Warriors are terrible.
I've seen Kawhi activate playoff mode, and it's just flat out unstoppable.
I agree. I'm telling you, I agree. I agree with all your points, but I also disagree to the extent that you guys don't have enough personnel to slow Jokic down. You all try.
Then who has the personnel to slow Kawhi down?
What's Kawhi's career high in playoffs?
45.
Okay, that's you can live with that.
That's Bron's career high in the playoffs as well.
You can live with that. Bron has scored 51 against Golden State, please.
Okay, well, one second. But remember their last matchup, right? The more you try to slow down Jokic, the more Jamal is giving you all the business.
I don't know about that, man. Plus, you have to also remember, Doc was the coach at the time.
Okay, that's a fair point.
T. Lou is totally different.
T. Lou is better than their coach, so is an advantage.
That's fair, but I don't. We'll see.
I'm not saying. I totally understand you going with the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. But man,
you have to remember that when you are guarding like an elite player on the post, you have to double. Like, there's nobody that will leave Jokic on the island and be like, "Oh yeah, go off."
Justin, let me explain something to you. Like I said, you cannot stop these great players from going off, right?
But you're going to double.
But that's what I'm saying. It's all about defensive schemes. So we saw Jason Kidd double book without giving up any, you know,
wide open three-point shots. It's easier to double perimeter players, though.
It's like I said, it's all about defensive schemes. If there's one man I trust to create a defensive scheme to be able to contend with the Denver Nuggets and that almighty offense is T. Lou. That's what I'm going to say. I have the Clippers winning in 6 games, Kawhi winning finals MVP.
I don't agree, 6, maybe 7. But hey,
Kawhi winning conference finals MVP in the East, a matchup of two greats. Like I was saying, sorry for the interruption, guys. There's a matchup of two African giants. As Odogwu would say.
Facts.
And I would love to go with my Nigerian, but Embiid is on a revenge tour this year. That man saw himself second team All-NBA and was like, what, me?
Him on the second team was a business.
The Kaka? Joel Embiid? Nah. I have the Sixers going to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2001. And I have them defeating the Bucks in a tightly contested 7-game series. It might end up being a better series than the Raptors Philly series.
Facts.
And I have Embiid as the conference finals MVP. Sleeper pick, though. James Harden is going to go off in that series.
I don't know. With Drew Holiday defending?
James Harden is going to go off in that series. You just watch.
Okay. For me, the Kaka has to... both the Kaka and Harden, the step back poppy, the one that always steps back when he needs to step up. I feel like he's going to step up this year. And I'll change his name to Step Up Poppy. But secondly, the Kaka is going to really, like, he's going to really impose because, man, him on the second team All-NBA for me was borderline just a massive, like he spit in the face. He spat in his face with that kind of award. Like, how dare you? How dare you, NBA? So I do think he's going to have something to prove, especially if they make it to the conference finals. The first time to ever make it to the finals since 2001. Come on, man. Come on, man. I do see the Sixers beating the Bucks, but it might be like every game is like they win by 3 or they lose by 5. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be that type of...
Hashtag trust the process.
You know what I'm saying? And hey, I'm going to trust the process this season and the ace. It's all about the process this season.
And he's the embodiment of the process.
He really is.
Justin, what about you?
I would love to say I have two Africans playing, but last I checked, KD isn't African.
I mean, if you check his lineage, he might be Nigerian.
He might. But I have Brooklyn versus Milwaukee, and it's going to go 7 games, in my opinion. And I think Brooklyn would win with KD as the MVP. I still think KD is the best player in the league. So I just think he's unstoppable. And with a healthy Brooklyn team, I don't think Milwaukee can stop Brooklyn.
I don't think Brooklyn can stop Milwaukee.
when we faced them with just Kyrie without James Harden, we gave them something.
Okay, and when they faced you, they gave you something on the way to winning the chip.
We were hampered. We were injured.
Oh please, Tosin, you take injuries for every single you disregard injuries for every single person except the Nets.
You just brought up the injuries for the Kaka last year.
I didn't.
I mean, you didn't bring it up today, but you brought it up.
Oh, please, Tosin. I cannot see.
You can't close your eyes to like a healthy. They always say the most healthy team is the one that wins the championship.
The Celtics are one of the best defensive teams in NBA history could not cope with that, man.
I've never seen Kevin.
For me, Giannis is the X factor.
Wait.
If the Bucks are to actually meet the Nets,
do you guys realize that last year we scored the most points against Boston in the entire playoffs? Yeah. Our problem was defense.
Oh well, I'm good.
KD shooting how much percent from the floor?
Oh well, I'm good.
Yeah, but we still scored a lot more than Golden State do. Golden State scored the second most and we're still far from there.
Tosin, you're not stopping that, man. I'm sorry, you're just not stopping Giannis.
Giannis?
You're just not stopping Giannis.
With who, Ben? Oh, Ben, then we turn to, what's that thing?
How many points does Draymond score? How many points does Draymond score?
How does that affect?
Did you see Draymond's generational clip in the NBA finals? Why are you bringing up Draymond in Game 6? He was moving like Jordan, bro. When he matters.
The last finals, how many points did Draymond score?
In Game 6? He was cooking, bro. He made 2 threes. What?
How many points in total did he have? He made 2 threes.
Can Ben Simmons make one? Ben Simmons take one?
He made 2 threes in Game
6. I can't with you guys. You bring it up, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons can't score. Anyways, we needed to address defense. We don't need an extra body offensively.
No. I agree. If your defense has taken a leap, especially with Ben Simmons returning, but you're still not stopping that man.
Yeah, but to bring up Ben Simmons not scoring as a problem
I did. The Warriors almost lost because by game 4, the what's his face? Draymond had more fouls than
points. Wait. You have to remember, instead of Ben Simmons, we're playing Andrew Drummond, the guy that was rebounding, pushing the ball away to I don't know where he was pushing the ball to. And this guy could not score. I was still scoring the most points against Boston.
Andrew Drummond, the big penguin.
Yeah, bro, that guy is so annoying.
My finals matchup is the Clippers versus the Sixers. And Joe, I love you. Clippers are on this game.
Bro, like, stop that. No. This one, I would actually call you crazy.
It's all about Clipper Town.
I'll call you crazy.
This NBA season is all about Clipper Town. Kawhi Leonard.
You don't even have Sixers making it to the finals. Like, you're calling him crazy.
I do.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard is about to get his third finals MVP. Clippers are about to fully silence the Lakers and take over LA as a Clipper Town.
For one season, I might add. Secondly, like, if y'all don't have the personnel to stop Jokic, how do you stop the cock?
Bro, the NBA is not about stopping.
Oh, my God. I'm not even saying stop. How are you going to slow him down? Player. How are you going to slow him down?
Did the Celtics slow Giannis down?
No.
Exactly.
So.
But they didn't have their second star there.
Did the Celtics slow Jimmy down?
Yeah.
In two games. He still averaged over 30 in the season.
Yeah, but they don't have a second star.
Two games in a seven-game
season. They don't have a second star. What are you talking about?
Bro.
Milwaukee didn't have their second star. Miami doesn't have a second star.
Only Embiid will not win that series for them.
I'm not world.
They have Tyrese and James Harden.
Too much. You act like the Clippers don't have Paul George and Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Kawhi bleeping Leonard.
Wait. Which point has more probability of going in from the perimeter or the Kaká on the post?
Bro.
Which one is the higher percentage? Which one is the higher percentage?
The amount of free throws the Kaká takes, man.
So, this is one man we're talking about. This is one man against the deepest team
You know the funny thing? He's not a one-man show up until he faces the Clippers.
They are not even going to play the deepest. They are not going to go 11 deep in the playoffs. Stop bringing up deepest team in the NBA. They are going to go 9 deep
but
in the
playoffs.
But
they're deep, and their coach is not afraid. I've seen Doc Rivers bottle it on multiple occasions.
I expect that
to happen again.
That's the only thing.
And if there's anybody to figure out the best defensive scheme for Embiid again, it's Ty Lue. He's not afraid to bench players to be able to get the best for his team.
You know what? Once they match up in the regular season, I will carefully watch that matchup. I want to see that.
I swear the Clippers won the Sixers last season in the regular season. And that meant without Kawhi and PG.
I don't think they did. Was Embiid playing?
They did.
I would like to.
But it was Embiid with a hampered James Harden.
It was the Clippers without PG and Kawhi.
That's fair.
But Tosin, don't let him get away with this. I do think. Let me tell you something. I do think the Clippers have a 50% chance of making it to the finals. I give him that. You know what I'm saying?
So you're saying it's impossible for the Clippers to defeat the Sixers?
I'm not saying it's impossible.
So why are you acting like I'm crazy?
Sorry. I don't think they have the personnel to slow.
And I don't think Sixers have the personnel to slow either Kawhi or PG down.
We'll see.
Like PG is the second coming of Jesus Christ. PG is just a guy.
So you're just going to forget Kawhi?
No, Kawhi is unstoppable. Well, PG is... fairly stopping the
that's
players.
Why I say Kawhi and PG. I didn't say PG and Kawhi. I said Kawhi and PG.
The Kaká and James Harden.
Harden's about to get locked up. They won't let him out.
No, word. Word.
Like Justin Jefferson was.
All right, man. Okay.
All right, Femi, what about you? We have a matchup of the two giants.
Well, I do... This for me is, do you know why this is personal for me? Because I do think low-key, while Jokic won the MVP, and I accept the fact that he won the MVP, I wanted the Kaká to win. And I feel like if the Kaká was to see the Joker right in front of him, he might take that personal, just like as I would.
So,
you know,
in essence,
I do think the kind of level we're going to see Embiid on, like,
this season. So the
Sixers win the chip.
Sixers win the chip.
And B finals MVP.
And B finals MVP.
Susan, what about you?
I have Brooklyn Nets.
Oh my God. Oh my
versus
God.
The Clippers?
No, I have Brooklyn Nets versus Denver Nuggets. I have Brooklyn Nets.
Okay, let me ask you the question you're always asking me. How are you going to match up against Jokic?
Yeah, I was about to get there. I have Brooklyn Nets suffering with Jokic and Jamal and MPJ. But guess what? They're gonna have to deal with KD. Oh my God!
Why is that a valid argument for him and not for Kawhi?
Well, let him finish.
Let me tell you something. No matter what Kawhi does, Kawhi cannot put up the buckets KD puts up.
I remember when they matched up without Curry in that 2019 season, and mm-hmm. Kawhi right now is moving like juggernaut. Have you seen his build?
But you have to remember that was Kawhi with Pop.
No. I'm talking in 2019 with the Raptors.
When
they faced up in the regular season.
Please, do you see what KD did in 11 minutes that he played in the finals?
KD had one Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson spreading the floor for him. This time around, it's one Kyrie Irving.
Wait, do you realize that you cannot double KD because he has shooters around? So you're still going to outplay one-on-one.
Do you know what's crazy? Every single thing you're saying right now is viable for the Clippers. But I was crazy for saying the Clippers would win the chip.
The only reason why I think the Clippers, like Brooklyn can beat the Clippers, whether it's the Clippers or Nuggets, is because the Clippers, they have we have big bodies. I mean, we have our smallest guy would be Kyrie on the court when we're playing our small ball. Ben Simmons, Kyrie, KD.
Do you realize that the Clippers can run out their lineup where the smallest guy is 6'4", Terrence Mann?
Oh, that's a fair point.
Okay. And at the same time, with the Nuggets, they can also run that kind of lineup. So.
That's what I'm telling you. Your reaction to me saying the Clippers would win the Sixers was
No. We never thought you were crazy. We just think you're wrong.
He suddenly thought I was.
No, I do. I just think because with the Sixers too, they could literally match up with you.
But I have the Clippers winning that matchup.
I don't think so.
All right, that's fair. So you have KD winning Finals MVP.
1,000%.
Okay, this is exactly why you don't work for Vegas.
We'll see.
I don't think Brooklyn makes it past the second round.
Okay, lastly, because this has been a pretty long episode, the part everybody always waits for,
mm-hmm.
and this section actually had me predicting somebody winning the Rookie of the Year last year. I don't know if you remember.
Oh yes.
Can you tell me his name, please?
Scotty Barnes.
Thank you. And we're back again to predict awards. So who do you have winning MVP, Tosin?
Luca.
77.
Yeah.
That's really
Lord Jesus have mercy on our souls.
Amen.
But they don't know what they're doing.
For we know what we are doing. Who do you have winning MVP?
Parker.
Yeah, you see, though, that's crazy because if I show you guys my list, it literally says there. I don't know if you guys can see it, but it says Embiid or Luka. I had Luka at first as the pentdown winner, but then I was like, ugh, Embiid might be on one this season. Like, he might feel robbed. So I will go with Embiid right now, but yeah, Luka will be top two.
No, because Giannis is going to be second.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I do think so.
Defensive player of the year.
Defensive player of the year. I have a lot of names. And the three names I could viable, and then I have a dark horse. Rob Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I have Kawhi and Embiid. Now, that's barring that Kawhi plays
65
north of 65 games. But my dark horse is AD.
Mm.
But I'll just leave it at that.
What about you, Tosin?
I have just one person, but I can give my top three as well. I have my top three will be AD, Giannis, and Embiid. But my winner is Giannis.
I do this every year. I get my heart broken every year, but I'm going to do it again. My defensive player of the year is Bam out of the Bayou.
Well, people that are going to that you have finishing sixth. You think?
what would Utah Jazz finishing? Where would he go?
They were top 2 seed.
Bro. No, yes. They were the 1 seed in 2020.
Okay,
2018,
they were like 3rd seed, 3rd to 4th. Yes, they were not. They were the Jazz have always been like
2018. They were the 5th seed. Do you know why?
Why?
Because that's when they faced OKC.
No. But think about it, dude.
In the first round. They were 4th. OKC was 5th.
2019.
They didn't face OKC in the first round.
2019, they weren't a top 3 seed.
Yeah, but Fee, if you don't finish like top 4, your stats have to be crazy. And I don't see Bam having a crazy defensive stat.
Just watch. And they Kendrick.
I don't want to hold them, but I do think.
I have AD up there as well. I have AD up there as well. Actually, it was either Bam or AD for me. But I do it every year. It's like a custom. Bam out of the Bayou.
Yeah, I gotta give it to him.
Nah, I see why it doesn't work for Vegas.
Oh, no. You can't steal my joke. Be original. Be original. Sixth man of the year.
Sixth man. I have Norman.
Stormin' Norman.
I have Kendrick Nunn. And either Royce, Rose Royce, or TJ Warren.
The fuck?
Bro.
Now I'm crazy.
No, let me tell you why you're crazy. You left out the current sixth man of the year.
In Tyler Hero?
Yeah.
I beg you.
Okay.
Thank
you. You so when they're going to be Royce, the 6th seed, when you they're going to be the 6th Rolls seed.
Rolls Royce is projected to be the 3rd seed, isn't it?
For real though, Rolls Royce.
Yeah, Rolls Royce could have won it for the Utah Jazz, isn't it? So like, bro,
I don't think he was there.
He wasn't there. It was Jordan Clarkson. It was Jordan Clarkson.
But Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles, sorry.
Rolls Royce might shock you, this Nets fan.
Okay, so who do you have winning it?
Who do I have winning it? I might give it to Stormy Norman because they might have the better seed.
Stormy Norman is a great pick.
And you know, hey, with the Clippers, I feel like even with what I saw yesterday, he's definitely going to be up there as a contender for 6 months.
Okay. Well, there's only one.
Just 1 second. If you say Patty Mills, I'm ending this right now.
Yeah, and you want to come at me for Rolls Royce.
Where did Patty Mills come from?
I don't know. You have this useless affinity with the Brooklyn Nets. I thought you were going to go crazy.
There is only one sixth man of the year that can average over 20 points consistently, and that's Tyler Hero. And that's what I'm giving it to.
I actually have Tyler, but the one thing I got to say, sixth man of the year is so difficult to predict. I think it's the most difficult of every single award to predict because you just don't know.
Because there's Jordan Poole as well that we're forgetting.
There's also... Okay, no, not Jordan Clarkson, but... Yeah.
No, Clarkson's done. Jordan Poole's there.
Coach of the year.
Ty Lue, Kerr, Willie Green. And it might be between Willie and Paul. It might be between Green and Ty Lue.
What about you, friend? Justin?
I have Ty Lue winning it. Because I feel his team is going to be up there. And I just feel
to pray for times like this, man. I used to pray for general consensus around Ty Lue.
It's not like we've ever disagreed with you, though.
Oh, no. Play the first clip. First ever episode. Y'all thought it was crazy. For me, I have either Ty Lue, and you're never going to believe what the second name is.
Spolster.
No, it might say Nash. No.
Doc Rivers.
It's Doc.
If I was to say I wasn't shocked, I'd be lying to the listener.
It's Doc. I shocked myself as well.
How dare you say Doc? Doc, the doctor.
But you have to be objective, man. If the Sixers do get the 1 seed, why should he not be up there for Coach of the Year?
That's true.
It's a good shout. But yeah, but we'll definitely see. I think it's Ty Lue, because I think Ty Lue is going to have to deal with more things where he's dealing with load management.
No, for
and
sure.
if he's still able to like succeed with load management, I think he's gonna get more shout.
For sure. And rookie of the year.
I have Jabari Smith, and I have three strong contenders, because I've been watching, because rookie of the year is probably like nobody looks into that, but I was like, yo, I know Banchero is like the consensus so far, but I think Jabari Smith Jr. and Jaden Hardy for the Mavs might give Banchero a run for his money.
I personally think rookie of the year has to come from a team that is so bad where their rookie has a lot of time to shine. I think any rookie playing on the Mavs cannot win it, in my opinion. He's not going to get the time to showcase his talent. I think it's Paolo.
77 hogging the ball.
Yeah. I think it's Paolo simply because that's the only guy I know. And he's like 6'8 and weighs like 300 pounds. So I think he's that guy.
Yeah, I wanted to go with Jabari, but I just don't know playing with Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. I actually think Jabari is the best one out the draft. I think he's better. I was going to go with Chet anyways, if Chet didn't go down. But I think Jabari will have a better NBA career than Chet and Banchero. But I'm going to go with Paolo because I feel like his game, in terms of that whole draft, is the most NBA ready. He's playing for the Orlando Magic, so he's going to be the undisputed one seed, 6'8", as a man's body. You know, I just had to go with him just because, you know.
I hear you. I ain't going to hold you.
I wanted to go with Jabari, but Jalen Green be putting up shots.
Yeah, hey, man, Kevin, KPJ Jr. is just, I want to say, low-key ball hog. He's a Harden. He's a young Harden.
Yeah, and then MIP.
Most improved. I actually forgot about that.
I forgot about that.
Category. But off the top of my head, I think James Wiseman might be a contender. I believe Precious Ochoa from the Raptors might be a contender. And lastly, if I had to give it to somebody, I might go Precious Matt.
So then what about you?
I think this guy is going to make the All-Star team for the first time, and I think he's going to be the most improved. Tyrese Maxey.
That's a good job.
Fair. Once again, I do this every year, and I'm about to do this myself again.
Oh, Jesus.
Ogugua Anunobi. OG. OG for MIP.
I ain't gonna hold you, man.
OG for MIP. OG for MIP.
But I do think you should not slip on Precious, though.
OG has a bigger role in that Raptors team than Precious.
True.
So I would say, I think OG.
I hear that, but hey, I do think, hey, Precious, that my Nigerian brother, man.
OG for MIP. So that's it for the predictions. Been a long episode.
Oh, wait. I have some. Can you guys, I know you didn't prepare for this, but going into the season, give me your top five players. Let's do five players rather than 10.
Atinte, Kaka, the Joker, Kawhi, and
that's bold.
Yeah, no, Kawhi. No, like let's be objective.
I mean, Faye, you did say he's top five as well, so you better be on your list.
Yeah. So, but going into the season, it usually takes context off of the previous season.
I do not give a damn. And number five, Kevin.
No, Steph.
Oh, I actually forgot. Steph, my bad. So, my bad. Okay, one second. So, Atinte, Steph, because he won Finals MVP, the Kaka, Joker, and Kawhi.
No, Kevin.
No, Steph. You start. Oh, okay. Steph made your list. That's okay.
For me,
I better not hear the name though. That's my thing. Because he's not.
Is it gonna be MB? No, Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Steph.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
Yoke.
Mm-hmm.
And 77.
How did Kawhi not make your list, please?
You said
simply because
you said Kawhi was.
I think natural. Like, keep in mind, this list is based on performances off of last season.
Okay.
Because if not, I would have had KD in there. I would have had Kawhi in there.
How are you going to have KD and Kawhi in there? Okay, give me not just context of last season. Give me your top five.
My top five players.
Top
in the
five
league?
Players in the league.
Okay. Yeah.
Giannis, Steph, KD, Kawhi, Embiid.
I can't argue with that. As long as 77 does not make your list, behavior.
So LeBron is not your list.
No. No.
Mean top six numbers? No. He did put up top six numbers last
again.
Season.
All right. So me, I wouldn't read out everything, but I wrote eight. Kawhi is my eighth. Let me just put it out there. Kawhi is eighth. But I have Giannis, Joel, Jokic, Steph, and KD / Luka.
You know, like I said, this is exactly why you do not work for Vegas. Because having Kawhi eighth, and you're nah.
Kawhi eighth to me is perfect. Kawhi does not drop crazy numbers to be over these other guys on my list.
That's my problem. You're too stats based. That's my problem. T-Mac was dropping crazy numbers, but nobody's ever gonna put him over some of the players. Yeah. Melo.
We for any year, if you're listing the top 10 players, stats have to back it up though. For any year.
You know, I don't your list again.
Giannis, Joel, Jokic, Steph, Luka. Luka/KD.
I'll take KD before Luka though.
But yeah, is a slash. You can take
there's
one.
There's no slash. There is no slash.
Yeah, that's it.
What about our winners and losers? No,
no. I was about to say that's it for predictions, but then the last segment of the show: biggest winners and losers of the week. Who's your biggest loser?
No, let's do of the
off
summer of off season. Yeah,
okay. I still think it's the Phoenix Sunsets.
Yeah, that's very,
those
tweets that's
are
very
saying
sad.
The Mercury is the best team in Phoenix right now.
That's jokes.
Jason, what about your biggest loser of the offseason?
My biggest loser is Chris Paul, simply for the fact that this is the second franchise that he has dealt with racism from the owner.
I mean, president of player.
Why is that on him, bro?
There's just bad luck following this guy, and the Phoenix Suns, they are setting. So like his window is done.
I saw a tweet, somebody was like, hating on Chris Paul is one of the most fun things to do because at the end of the day, you are going to have the last laugh.
Bro, he's so annoying.
For me, my biggest loser, the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, they lost everything.
Yeah, and I don't see them building anything special. Ain't nobody want to play in Utah, bro. Right, I actually have a second biggest loser, Femi.
How, Sway?
Can you imagine? I think it was Monday. I come back from work, tired as hell. And this man goes, oh, Fee, they're saying I can't lock Luka up. What do you think? She can't lock Luka up, bro. Are you crazy?
Listener.
Yeah.
Listener.
I agree with his biggest loser of the summer.
Listeners, they underestimate my said basketball abilities, but that's fine.
Dude, you're 6'4". Luka is like 6'7" or something.
See, let me tell you something. I don't give a damn. You can't have all the answers, Sway. Okay? You can't have all the answers, Sway.
All right. I like your confidence, though. Might be misplaced, but it's there.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Who is your biggest winner of the postseason? Do you want me to say mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
Josiah.
I can see that.
The Brooklyn Nets.
He won the face off.
He won the battle. He won the war. He won every single thing.
My man reminds me of time with Lannister.
He still kept his team in a position to compete for a chip.
Nah, okay.
I respect that.
He reminds me of time with Lannister. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
Man of duty. I like one Kevin. Kevin really lost most of my.
How about you, Tosin?
Yeah, it was very tough. I think I might give it to James Harden because this is like the first offseason where he has actually shown me something. Like he's coming into the season. like very in shape. So yeah, so I think
For me, it's the two teams, Denver and the Clippers, because their return of their most important players has been like, you know, it's added more fire to the league. It's added more competition to the league. It makes the regular season more interesting to watch and stuff like that.
I have another biggest loser.
Who?
Dennis Schroeder.
Yo, do you want to give that man depression, bro? Do you actually want to give that man depression?
Yo,
he's already lost a lot for you to come and say he's your biggest loser. Like, bro, just let it go, man. Let it go.
Love him, fam.
Let it go, please, please. Let him whip him.
Okay.
Yeah, man. One thing's for sure, in my opinion, this is gonna be the best basketball season in a long, long, long
barring injuries.
It's gonna be the best basketball season in a long time, and I'm completely here for it. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Courtcast. It's been a pleasure being back. Don't expect every episode to be this long. This just always happens with every prediction episode. Thank you for coming back to us, and
thank
you for sparing us your time. You're going to be seeing more of this guy, and you'll be seeing his face clearly from now on.
Damn, why y'all hitting on my laptop, bro?
Obviously, you're going to be hearing more of this voice, because the voice of reason, the voice of truth. You've got nothing but truth. Make sure to check out the Courtcast. Make sure to check out the Highline Podcast as well. Check us out on all podcast streaming platforms on CoolNet Sports. Tell a friend to check out CoolNet Sports and listen to whatever podcast she did. Don't even care about the name. Just play it.
Yeah. Fun listen, guys.
Thank you for listening. Have a lovely day.
Adios, amigos.
You're over with Finito.
It's a Slam Time production.